هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، شفيع ذنوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وحبيب قلوبنا بالقاسم محمد. وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين المنتجبين، لعنة الله الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي يسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. أما بعد، السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعظم الله أجورنا وأجوركم بمصابنا بأبي عبد الله الحسين عليه الصلاة والسلام. Indeed, it is an honor and a grand blessing that all of us are once again here to relive the tragedy of the love of our hearts and the light of our eyes. A man may forget his Lord, a Muslim may abstain from visiting the mosque, but you shall not find any lover, any heart willing to abstain from the remembrance of Hussein ibn Ali. Amazing and unbelievable and indescribable is the pull this Imam exerts upon the hearts of his lovers, whether they consume alcohol, commit fornication, abstain from prayers, but that ray of light known as Hussein pulls them back to the truth, even if it is one day a week or one day in a year. Isn't this a grand blessing of Allah that today we are all here, the outcome of the dua of Fatima Zahra? Was it not her, when she heard the news from the Prophet, and the Prophet was told by Jibreel that this son of yours shall be the sacrifice of your ummah, and he told Zahra, and Fatima asked the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Abata, but who shall cry for my Hussein? O Zahra, neither shall I be there, nor you, nor his father Ali, nor Hassan. She explained, but father, who shall cry for him? And he said, O Zahra, a people shall come, they shall cry for your Hussein and forget their own dead until the day of Qiyamah. And Zahra said, O father, then I shall spend my life in prayers for these people. You are the outcome of Fatima Zahra. Your worth is such. And since this is the first talk, we will talk of Hussein ibn Ali. And from tomorrow, inshallah, let us begin the series of talks we wish to deliver on the nature of Islam. But immense is the pull that this Hussein exerts. And the hadith of Zahra and her love for the lovers of her Hussein, that she said to the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, where shall I see you on the day of Qiyamah? And the Prophet said, O Fatima, you belong in the loftiest of ranks. You shall see me in Jannat al-Firdaus. She said, O Father, but before that, where may I see you? And he said, O Fatima, you shall find me at Kawthar, giving to drink those people who shall be admitted within the folds of paradise. O Father, where else may I meet you? You may see me on the Sirat, O Fatima. I shall be escorting and helping the people of my ummah cross the Sirat. O Father, where else may I see you? You may find me when the scales are placed, O Zahra. O Father, where else shall I see you? You shall find me when the books are opened, O Fatima. But where else may I see you, O Father? You shall find me on the corners of the pits of hell, O Fatima. What shall you do there, O Father? And the Prophet said, O Fatima, I shall do shafa'a at that time for the people of my ummah. She said, O Father, I will see you at the corner of hell. The Prophet shook. He said, O Fatima, what shall you do there? And she said, Father, I shall intercede and do shafa'a for every lover of my Hussein and say to Allah, O Allah, is it not your promise that you shall safeguard every one of them from the pits of hell? And O Allah, I shall not place my feet inside the fall of paradise before taking these people into the halls of paradise. Such is the love that Fatima has for the lovers of her Hussein. And such are the standards of the lovers of Hussein. That light of Allah and the light of truth. And look at this Hussein. When Imam Khomeini died, there were 10 million people at his funeral. 10 million people. Today, if you go to Iran on the day of commemoration of the death of Imam Khomeini, with difficulty you will find 20,000 people or 10,000 people. And when Hussein was giving his neck, there was only one Zainab crying for him. And today in every heart there is Hussein. The whole world, every corner of this earth cries out for Hussein. Look at the rank of Hussein ibn Ali. Look at the might of Hussein ibn Ali. Compare him. We call him Abu al-Ahrar, the father of free men. In his lifetime he was the father of free men. He had his head severed. He gave Azgar to the shooting arrows. He gave the chest of his Akbar to the dagger, and he gave his Abbas to the Euphrates. But he stood as a free man. He breathed his last 172 strokes of a blunt knife, but he stood as a free man. Have you ever seen in this world that a man not only wins the battle but wins every war till day of Qiyamah by giving his life? You find victory in overpowering the enemy. And Hussein finds victory in giving himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did Hussein say? That I see the ship of Islam in stormy waters about to be sunk. But I shall do such a thing that it will safeguard this ship from sinking and steer it and sail it to the shores of safety, so that no tyrannical or despotic hand may touch it till the day of Qiyamah. Look today, the Karbala of Hussein ibn Ali. Look at the Karbala of Hussein ibn Ali. Every tyrant of the day has seen this Karbala as a threat for their own survival. The Abbasites, they brought elephants to raise the haram of Hussein to the ground. What happened? The elephants stopped and did not advance. They tried to flood the Rosa of Hussein. What happened? The water reached this cover of Hussein Ali and circled around it. And hence we call Hayr al-Husseini, the place of Hussein. Jinn, Bashar, Malaika, Hayranat, all and all revere this Hussein ibn Ali. He is the father of free man. Look at Saddam in the uprising of Karbala and Najaf. What did Saddam do? He took tanks into the Rauza of Hussein ibn Ali. And if you have gone to Hussein's shrine, you would see riddled with bullets. There are bullets everywhere in the shrine of Hussein ibn Ali. And they've been filled with polyfillers. That Saddam prevented people from coming to the ziyarah of Hussein. But then what did he see? The collapse of his own economy. He had to re-allow the people to come to ziyarah. And the more people who come to ziyarah, the greater threat for Saddam.
On the one hand, they cannot destroy the rose of Hussein. And on the other hand, they survive on the rose of Hussein. And their survival is again under threat because the people take this message from Hussein that we will not bow in front of any tyrant. And look at this love. Love that exists in the hearts of the people of Hussein. You have seen the qabr of Sayyid Muhammad inside the rawda of Hussein ibn Ali. When the Abbasids saw Hussein as a threat, like Saddam sees Hussein as a threat, and look at the rawda of Hussein gaining in its glory day by day, people flocking from all sides. If you go to the Arba'in of Hussein, you will find more people there than you will find in the Ayyam of Hajj in Baytullah. Why? Because he is the Ruhul Kaaba. He is the Ruhul Kaaba. This Sayyid Muhammad, when the Abbasids imposed a law that no one can go for the ziyarah of Hussein except by giving a limb, he went for one ziyarah, gave his arm. For another ziyarah, gave another arm. For third ziyarah, one foot. For fourth ziyarah, fifth, the fourth foot, the second leg. When he came without arms and feet, hands and feet, they said to him, "What will you give now?" He said, "For my Hussein, now I will give my neck." Such is the love that Hussein exerts upon people. But look at this Hussein. Look at his strategy. Look at the way he has given his sacrifice. No man would hear the story of Hussein, but they would stop in their stride. They would be shaken from within. They would shed tears. Why? Such appeal, such emotional appeal. Why? Hussein was a father. He appeals to every father. He was a brother. He appeals to every brother. He was a husband. He appeals to every husband. He had taken his women folk. He had taken his children. And if that was not enough, he also gave his baby Asghar. This is Hussein, who has penetrated within the heart of each and every human. And hence we call him Abul Ahrar, not Abul Shia, not Abul Muslimin, but Abul Ahrar. He is the father of every free man, every man that recognizes the truth. Now let us see and compare this Imam Hussein and his ziyarah and his grand stature and his standing. If you go to Kaaba, what do you see? You see the Kaaba between four valleys, don't you? The four roads, Yemen, Sham, Iraq, and the others. You come down between the mountains, and you find Kaaba. If you were to enter the precincts of Mecca, you would not see the shrine of the Kaaba or Masjid al-Haram, because it is in a very shallow place. You go to that shallow place and all of a sudden you see a risen building. Kaab is this part of the foot, the elevated part of the foot. وَنْصَحُوا بِرَوُوسِكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ, until the two Kaab, elevated bones. Kaab means elevation. But look at the beauty of this Kaaba, that it is in a very shallow place, Nashedina, like Rifat. You go down and you find this elevation. What is Allah saying? What Allah is saying is, the more you bow to me, the more elevation I will give to you. The more you destroy yourself in me, the more you annihilate yourself, the more you will become with me. This is what Allah is saying. And Allah says, وَالْكِبْرِيَاءُ رِدَائِي. Kibriya, I am, this takabur. It is the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody will say, I am, and they will survive. There's a hadith that a person with ujub, not pride. Pride is when we say, I'm better than you. Ujub is to feel I am something. Anyone with an ounce of ujub in their heart, this notion that I am something, or infatuation of the self, The hadith says that not only will they not go to paradise, they will not even smell the fragrance of paradise. Why? Because Jannah is maqamul ilahiyya. It is the maqam of Allah. Jannah is you, not I. And hence when Shaitan said that I am better than he, خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَار وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن تِين, Allah said, فَخْرُجْ مِنْهَا. Allah said, remove yourself from it. Kaaba is what? It's a station of totally submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the more one submits to Allah, the greater is the rank with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you go to Karbala, if you go to the shrine of Abbas ibn Ali, you will not see the shrine of Hussein. You come close to the shrine of Imam Hussein, you see the walls, you look, open the doors, and you see the roba, you have to go down. Then you go to the roba of Hussein Ali, and the qabr of Imam Hussein is further down. Look at how much the Imam submitted himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he has got this grand elevation with Allah. Then you find in the Kaaba, you find the golden pipe. It is said this is Mizab al-Rahma. No one shall stand underneath that Mizab, but that their supplication, dua and hajat will be granted. But there is one condition, that those hajat are good for you. If there is something bad, Allah being our Lord, our Father, will not give us something that is bad for us. But about Hussein it is said that if someone goes to the higher of Al-Hussein and stands on the red stone of the Barasar of Hussein and asks for something, and if that thing is bad for him, then Allah will change his qaza and qadr first. Allah will change the destiny first, then won't give the dua. But Allah will never reject the supplication when it is offered by Hussein ibn Ali. Then you find on the day of Arafah that Allah looks on the Maidan of Arafah, that we have a hadith from Imam Sadiq, Salamullah Ali. That says that before Allah looks on the plains of Arafah, He looks at the Ha'ir al-Husayni. And there is one difference, that on the Maidan of Arafah, you will have people of legitimate birth and illegitimate, haram zadeh or halal zadeh. But in Ha'ir al-Husayni, only Tahir al-Mawlid will get there. Then Hussein, he's the Lord of the Ashiqeen. If the Kaaba dictates the direction of our forehead, then Hussein dictates the direction of our arwah and our hearts. There's a hadith in which Allah says to Makkah, remain bowed in awe of Karbala, for I have created you for Karbala, so that people may do this dhahiri ibadah and their hearts may turn to Hussein ibn Ali. Look at the verse of the Quran. وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَهَجَّدْ بِهِ نَافِلًا عَسَىٰ أَنْ يَبْعَثَكَ رَبُّكَ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا. And in the nights, pray namaz al-shab, for Allah might elevate you to maqam mahmud, to a praiseworthy position. And the one who is elevated at maqam mahmud becomes Muhammad Rasulullah. Did Allah give this guarantee for Salat al-Wajib, for the Wajib prayer? No. Namaz al-Shab is Mustahab or Wajib? Mustahab. Respond. It's Mustahab. But does Allah give such a guarantee for Salat al-Wajibah, for the Wajib Namaz? But Allah has given such a grand guarantee for the Mustahab Namaz. Why? To perform the Wajibah is the duty of slaves and the duty of tujjar and businessmen. To perform nawafil is from the hearts of ashiqeen. Because you have created me, I pray Salatul Wajib. But because I see you worthy of the oath of Allah, That is why I stand at night and pray to you. That is why we have ziyarah of Hussein as mustahab after the wajibat. The maqsad, the objective of salah is the ishq al-Hussein. The objective of hajj is the mi'raj al-Husseini. The objective of sajda is the sajda al-Hussein. And hence you have this hadith, that if you have performed your hajj wajib, then the next year, go for the ziyarah of Imam Hussein on the day of Arafah. Imam Sadiq is saying this. And perform ghusl at Furat. And with every step that you take to the rawdah of Hussein, you will get the thawab of 1,000,000 hajj and 1,000,000 umrah that you have done with Muhammad Rasulullah. And look at this Hussein. And look at the way Imam Hussein has made his Karbala. If Ibrahim has placed bricks on the Kaaba, then Hussein has placed Akbar, Qasim and Abbas on his Karbala. If Hajra has given the black cloth to the Kaaba, then Zainab has given the chadar tathir to Karbala. If Hajra ran 7 times between Safa and Marwa, then Hussein held Asghar in his hand and walked 7 times to and fro from his tents to the Maktal. And if Ibrahim has given his Ismail, then Hussein has extracted the dagger from his Akbar. Look at the way he has given his real Hajj, Hussein ibn Ali. Every one of us, it is within us to want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to cry out for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even in our denial of Allah, there is acknowledgement of Allah. Even in rejection of Allah, there is iqrar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلِلَّهِ يَسْجُدُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْعَرْضِ وَبِلَالُهُمْ بِالْغُدُوِّ وَالْآسَالِ. For Allah everything prostrates, whatever is between the heavens and the earth, and even their shadows in the evenings and in the mornings. All of us have that light of Allah within us, and we all want Allah, but sometimes we do not realize that it is Allah that we want. If Saddam kills people, if Saddam wants that power, it is only because he has come from the all-powerful Allah. Then he wants to acquire all power, but he does not know how to acquire it. All of us want life, don't we? We all want to live forever, don't we? Yes or no? Even though we say we want to die, but we want to live. It is because Allah is Hayyul Qayyum. And all of us are from Allah. And if we are about to die, we leave children behind so that our genes may carry on living after our death. When Qais fell blindly in love with Layla, and he could not see anything but Layla, and the remembrance of all else was replaced by the name of Layla, it was only he observing Layla as a faint ray of the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just imagine if he had marveled at the beauty of Allah from which Layla had come. The way of attainment of Allah is not through the attainment of power or glory or wealth or life. It is in giving everything away for the sake of Allah and finding Allah after giving it all away. For Allah will not come inside a heart that has other than Allah. لَن تَنَعَلُ الْبِرْ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. When you get rid of this love of other than Allah, then Allah comes. Look at the hadith Qudsi, in which it is said, خَلَقْتُ الْخَلْقَ لِبْنَ آدَمَ وَخَلَقْتُ ابْنَ آدَمْ لِنَفْسِي. Allah is saying, I have created the whole creation for the son of Adam, But I have created the son of Adam for me. Everything is at the feet of son of Adam. The sun comes out every morning. The night falls every evening. Even before we are born, Allah produces milk within the bosoms of our mother. He is giving everything to us. But the son of Adam is looking at that which is for him in any case, and he is forgetting the one for whom he has to ascend. The way of attaining Allah and being with Allah and through Allah is by giving everything away through Allah and for Allah. And the more we submit to Allah, the more we gain from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have a look. There were two people. One was Umar ibn Sa'd, and one was Hazrat Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi. Both of them are faced with a choice. Umar ibn Sa'd, he is faced with a choice of killing al-Husayn and getting the land of Ray. And Hazrat Hur is faced with the choice of dunya and akhirah. Both are in the same predicament. Umar ibn Sa'd recites poetry. And he says to himself, I am baffled and bewildered. I stand between two perilous paths. Should I kill Hussein and acquire the burdens of sin and the yoking of the neck and subjection to the pits of hell? Or should I leave the land of Ray? And the land of Ray is the apple of my eye. Then he says, they say that Allah is forgiving, and they say that Allah has created heaven and hell. If they are true, I shall kill al-Hussein, get the land of Ray, repent for 2 years, but I shall claim the kingdom of earth and the kingdom of heaven. And there is Hur. He is trembling. And somebody asks him, oh Hur, but you are the most renowned warrior of the people of Kufa. And he said, do you not see? I found myself between heaven and hell, and I shall never prefer hell above heaven. Two people making their choice. One giving his life for the sake of Allah, and the other one taking a life for the sake of dunya. Hur has become eternal till the day of Qiyamah with Allah. And Umar ibn Sa'd, after killing Imam Hussein, he is denied Ray. He is denied sleep of night, and is killed in a most humiliating fashion. The way of achievement of total glory is through submission and giving away to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now here we shall narrate a little incident, and inshallah will come to a halt. And I said, from tomorrow we will begin and commence with our topics. Now as a king, as you have heard, and this king went for hunting, as is usual, or was usual for kings of those days. And he went with his soldiers, but on the way, for whatever reason, he separated from his soldiers and lost his way. About to die through hunger, he found a hut. He went to the hut, knocked at the door, and was received by an old man who in his possession had no more than a goat. The old man saw that the king was in a dire state. He milked the goat and gave the milk to the king to feed the king. Seeing that his hunger still persisted, the old man slaughtered his goat and fed the king. The king was seeing all of this. He saw that this old man, for me, has given everything that he had, and he doesn't even know that I am the king, and he doesn't want anything in return. He said to the old man, he said, I am the king of this land. My palace is within the city. If ever you find yourself in need, then come to me. As it so happens, the old man saw the need of going to the king. He went to the king. The king recognized him. And he said, "Oh, gracious king, I find myself in need on this day." The king looked at his wazir and he said to one of them, "What shall I give him in return for his favor?" The wazir said, "O king, give him 1,000 goats and give him sacks of gold and diamonds and let him go." The king looked at the other wazir and he said, "What shall I give him in return?" The wazir said, "O king, do you grant me refuge of my life that after I tell you the truth, you will not behead me?" The king said, "I give you a man, nothing will happen to you." The wazir said, "O king, the old man gave you everything that he had without wanting anything from you. Even if you were to give him your kingdom, it will still be his ihsan upon your head." The king said, "You have spoken the truth." He took his crown and placed it on that poor man's head. And he said, "From today, you are the king of this nation, and I am your subject and your loyal servant." Hussein gave everything to Allah. Hussein gave everything to Allah. Humayd ibn Muslim narrates a riwayah. He said, when Hussein, on his final battle, when he was advancing towards the maqtal, I saw his gray beard covered in blood, blowing from side to side from the hot winds of the desert. And I saw his garments blowing from east to west. And there I saw a little girl of 3 to 4 running after Hussein, falling, then standing up. She came near Hussein and pulled at his garment. When she pulled, he looked behind. As he looked behind, she looked at him and she said, "Ya Abata, O father, انظر إلي, look at me, O father, فإني عطشان, O father, I'm dying of thirst." Humayd ibn Muslim says that the blessed Imam shed tears and with anguish he placed his hand upon her head and he said, "Ya Bunayya, سقاكِ الله, O my child, may Allah quench your thirst, O Sakina." Humayd asked, "Who was this young girl?" And I was told that was the beloved Sakina who slept on the chest of Hussein. Hussein gave everything for Allah, but it is not right for Allah to give his lordship away, and it is not right for anyone to take lordship from Allah. So what did Allah do? He removed Hussein from Hussein and made Hussein a part of Islam and a part of Ilahiyah. To the extent that wherever you hear the name of Allah, you find the name of Hussein with him. And wherever you find the name of Hussein, you find the name of Allah with him. أَلَا لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ إِلَهِ إِنَّا نَسْأَلُكَ بِحَقِّ الْحُسَيْنِ وَجَدِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَخِيهِ وَتِسْعَةِ الْمَعْصُومِينَ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.